Welcome to Marketing and the Sales Guy, a show where a sales guy attempts to show how smart he is by sharing and discussing marketing ideas with real smart people in B2B marketing. Hi, everyone. On the podcast today, I have Laura Cantor from Climate Club. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. It's great to have you on. Laura and I are going to talk today about sustainability marketing. But before we jump into that, Laura, can you tell us briefly what it is you're working on now and some of your past marketing roles?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I've worked in marketing and strategy for, I would say, the last 15 years or so. And sustainability, or I guess the art of working in an organization or using your skills to create a positive impact, have always been really important to me. So I spent 6 years working at Foodpanda, which hopefully everyone listening will be familiar with them, but they're a delivery tech company. When I joined, it was very small, there were 30 of us in Singapore. When I left, there were about 1,300. So really joined at a very pivotal time in terms of growth. But what I saw there is as we got bigger, we had such an incredible opportunity to make an impact, to make a positive impact. And I was able to build sustainability within the marketing and the communication strategy. So some of those things that we did, we banned shark fin. We were the first food delivery company to do this. And this was in partnership with WWF, I think in 2018. And it was one of the first initiatives that we ran where we saw such fantastic, a positive sentiment from consumers that we saw that actually from a branding standpoint, it was also not only is it important to do, but it was actually very beneficial to the brand as well. And that kind of spurred me on to really focus a lot on sustainability for the 6 years that I was at Foodpanda. Since then, I actually moved on to another startup called Abillion. And the mission around Abillion was to inspire a billion people to reduce the consumption of animal products and ultimately go vegan. But as I'm not vegan myself, it was really just about how can you really incentivize people to make more sustainable choices. And since I've moved on from Abillion, I've now set up my own, I would say, consultancy, sustainability and marketing consulting. But really the focus is how can I help to advise organizations and sustainability practitioners to help to build sustainability within their strategy, not only the marketing strategy, but the business strategy.
That's great. I'm definitely talking to the right person today then on sustainability marketing. That's brilliant. So I think you touched on it a little bit in terms of the benefits to brand, but why don't we start with a kind of, you know, what is sustainability marketing and why is it important?
I mean, it's a good question. And I think it's important to differentiate between what it actually means, because I think sadly, and I think for many organizations, it will be part of this sort of bigger bubble of greenwashing. I think it's quite timely. I'm not sure if you've seen the latest Apple ad where they feature Mother Nature and they talk about all of their fantastic sustainability goals and reduction in emissions and things like that. But I think, unfortunately, many organizations jump on the bandwagon, especially when it's a World Environment Day, World Earth Day, Earth Hour. All these brands come out for a couple of hours and announce something. So that's definitely not what I mean. I think, unfortunately, that's one end of the spectrum. What I mean is how can you put sustainability at the heart of the business and the heart of the strategy and the communication strategy? And it is very difficult because ultimately, marketing is about getting people to buy either services or especially if you're in product business, it's about buying products. Foodpanda was to get people to order food. And it's quite challenging because you talk about sustainability, but ultimately you're driving consumption as well and consumerism. Personally, I always felt quite ethically quite challenging sometimes to think, actually, is this the right thing to be doing? So it's how can you drive more sustainable actions and consumer actions for something. For example, I was very against it in my previous roles with these flash sales. We would do these $1 buy any meal for a dollar and things like that. Like, I would say that's the opposite of what sustainability marketing is as well, because you're really not driving positive consumer actions. But I think it's really about this kind of informing and inspiring consumers to make better choices, because I do think the onus is really on businesses and especially larger organizations that have the money, that have the resources, that have the voice and the scale. I do think that businesses should always think about what is the impact that they're making on their society, on the community, on the world around them. and how can they make a positive contribution?
Listen, that's great. I think you make an excellent point about the kind of paradox of driving consumerism, but I like the way you put it, better choices. It seems much more positive than the kind of asking consumers to make sacrifices, yeah, just make better choices. Listen, I did see the Apple advertisement. It was a great advertisement, but it just leads me to a follow-up question. Is what we're talking about here, is it more relevant for B2C companies, or is it important for B2B as well?
Yeah, I think it's definitely important for both. I would say from a B2C side, like consumers are starting, I do think, and we do see more and more that consumers do care. I think that the conversations around sustainability, around climate change, I mean, there are more and more frequent now. And I think that people are making decisions more with their wallets. And so as a business that obviously is looking after people or giving products and services to people, they definitely should be concerned with it. But for B2B, I also see it as important, especially because there's a lot of legislation coming out or reporting rules coming out where actually the suppliers you work with are going to be very critical to when you look at your own emissions and you look at the impact you're making as an organization. You talk about these different scope three where you're looking at the supply chains and things like that. So definitely, I think it's incredibly important, but the challenge will always come down to cost. It was something that we saw again in my previous role at Foodpanda. We used to do these very regular consumer surveys, and we would ask consumers how important is sustainability to you? And we saw over the years more and more people would say it's important. But the reality is, if we were offering a service for, say, we were $1 delivery fee and our competitor was offering it for free, they would still choose that competitor. And we actually had workshops around this where I think at the end of the day, people still care about price and convenience. And I think, unfortunately, right now, that's still in conflict with trying to be more sustainable because it's really about getting your same day delivery from Amazon or paying nothing for your delivery. Obviously, that's not going to be as good for the environment as obviously picking something up yourself. I think, unfortunately, while consumers do care, I think it's still all about price. And that's why, going back to what I said before, I really do think it's the Amazons of the world, they're the ones that can make the real change because they're in the market leadership position. They have the money, they have the resources, and they can change how these industries operate, and they can set more challenging benchmarks and set a higher standard for sustainability that other people then can follow.
Yeah, no, that makes a great deal of sense. Listen, just digging into it a little bit more, how can sustainability marketing help attract and retain customers? How can it help do that?
I think especially with the young, I would say younger generation, and I probably wouldn't put myself in this bracket anymore, but there is definitely a concern around the impact that we're making. And I think especially the sort of Gen Z are a lot more passionate about the topic of climate change and sustainability. And I do think that they will demand products and services in line with their values a lot more than I think my generation or the elder generations as well. So I don't necessarily see, and I think this is the challenge, it maybe isn't something that will pay off now, but I do think it will pay off in the longer term. The other thing with from a consumer standpoint is a lot of it is it again, it depends on the product and the service, and it also it really depends on the consumer need and also the market as well, because the challenge with a lot of sustainable products, so even if you look at potentially clothes, for example, things made out of organic bamboo or organic cotton, they would just cost more than a polyester version or something that's obviously less sustainable. It's also quite challenging when actually sometimes, and I think maybe the majority of the time, it's actually cheaper to be less sustainable. And I think that's also where businesses need to change and rethink a little bit, whether it's their supply chains, whether it's how they operate, or what the products and services that they sell, to make sustainable choices better. And I think that's what we talked about before. It's how can you inspire and influence consumers to make better choices and easier choices? I think the other thing that's quite challenging in this space is that the information is not always clear. And again, when you talk about climate change and carbon emissions, I do think a lot of the information around it's very scientific. It's and what does it mean if I'm reducing my CO2 emissions by X percent or X many tons? Most people won't understand what that means. And I think it's also making it very easy and very obvious for people when they make a choice. What does it actually mean? What is that immediate impact? And I think again, that's where this transparency and credibility is very important because, again, when we talk about greenwashing, like so many people will say it's a green choice, but many of them are not. And I think we see even examples of that in Singapore. And it's actually, I'm quite positively surprised. We do see some adverts out. I can't remember the brand now, but recently there was an ad about going green. And actually, I think it was removed because people complained about it, which is fantastic. It's definitely a step in the right direction, but ultimately, they shouldn't probably be allowed to advertise in the first place. So I do think consumers are a lot more educated on what's happening. They are expecting more. But I think, unfortunately, sustainability has this reputation that it's more expensive, it's less convenient. And therefore, I do think it's harder for most people to make those choices, or those better choices right now.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So we talked a little bit about, as you said, about better choices, and you mentioned that the kind of consumer dynamic will change over time. Younger consumers will be more important to them. Do you think consumers are or will do more kind of research on brands and look beyond their what their marketing message is and actually look to see if they are delivering? Is that a current trend?
Yeah, I mean, I do think, again, I think it just depends on the level of the individual passion and interest in the topic as well. Because as I mentioned, this sort of Apple ad, which I think a lot of the challenges with advertising is it can be misleading as well and not in the right way. So you could see a beautifully created advert by potentially a Coca-Cola or an Apple, and people will share it like, oh, this is fantastic, look what they're doing. But without really digging into maybe other aspects of the organization. So I think this is why it's so important to have the credibility around the marketing messaging and what you're doing, because I do think a lot of the campaigns coming out can actually be misleading for most people. They might make decisions that actually are maybe not the best anyway. And yeah, I think it really depends on the level of, yeah, passion from the person, the level of like information that they have as well. But I, as again, as I mentioned, the fact that people are complaining about advertising and they're getting removed, and there's a lot of conversation even with the Apple ad within my own community. I think that more and more people are starting to question things a little bit more and not taking them at face value, especially when organizations make these bold claims. Because I think with Apple, from my perspective, the biggest kind of challenge with that was it's not that they're not making great progress, and it sounds that all of their offices are carbon neutral and the energy consumption fantastic, but the reality is that they operate in an industry where they're basically releasing new models every year. I think it was, I'm not sure, if I don't want to get sort of done for kind of slander now, but I know there was talk around when they improve the software or you upgrade your phone, then it stops working so well, and then you have to buy a new one. They're not building things to last. They're not building new products that you have for 20 years. They're building you something that you upgrade in a couple. So to me, that's goes back to this whole consumerism piece. It's very much in conflict with what they're saying. And if they genuinely care so much about sustainability and about the environment, then they should say, look, hey, actually, we're gonna make sure that our phones last for 10 years, and we're going to make sure that when you buy a new one, you can trade in your old one and we do something with it. Like, to me, that would be more compelling than all these claims. Because again, I don't think the world needs so much stuff anymore. I think that's generally the problem. And we have billions of people on this planet and everyone buying something. So even if all organizations are completely sustainable, the reality is that there are too many people and we're buying too many things and there's nowhere to put everything anymore. So I would really say that and again, it's hard because as a public business, you have shareholders and you need to make money. And so they don't really care about you selling 10 times less iPhones if you make them last longer. So it is tricky. But yeah, I do think that it's just about the kind of messaging and the credibility behind what businesses are saying.
Yeah, no, listen, that makes a great deal of sense. And it's just, as you said, it's that paradox you highlighted at the outset, this consumerism, the drive to consumerism. So what are some examples of sustainable marketing initiatives that are good ones? Ones that you've worked on and ones that you've seen?
So at Foodpanda, I think one of my claim to fame is always this cutlery button that we introduced a couple of years ago. So again, quite a simple concept. We saw that most people, I think 80% of the orders at the time were being delivered to people's homes, but they were still getting cutlery. It was like a default. Every order you would get packets of plastic cutlery and napkins and things like that. And so we introduced this button. And we still saw that actually. I was so proud of this button because I thought, okay, we're going to reduce so much plastic. It's going to be amazing. And after a couple of months, we tracked it. And I think 83% of people still asked for cutlery. I couldn't believe it because I think it's the easier option. They don't have to wash anything up. It's fine. And again, it wasn't like it was big group meals that maybe they didn't have enough. It was like meals for two, meals for four. We're like, okay, how can we really incentivize our consumers to make those better choices? Equally, what we also saw is those 17% of orders that actually didn't request cutlery, many of them were still getting it. Restaurants weren't really reading the receipts properly. They weren't really taking care of the orders, and they were just naturally putting in the plastic. So what I did is, okay, we need to speak to the restaurants and we need to speak to the consumers. So for the restaurant side, we looked at the data for some of our largest restaurants, which are big, generally speaking, like very big QSR brands, big chains. And for some of them, the cutlery cost, if you actually looked at it over a period of time, they were saving five figures of, say, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars. If you assume a low cost for cutlery, if you actually don't give them out, you're saving a lot of money. So we sent all these emails to each of them. X many consumers have said no cutlery. And once we did that, there was so much interest. Oh, this is really interesting, like this cutlery thing. And we had a workshop and we brought the NEA to come and talk about how important it was and how important it is for their branding. So that was one thing we tackled was the restaurant side, is how can we make sure that they're not giving out cutlery? And then for the consumers, it was either a carrot or a stick approach. So the stick would have been, okay, we charge for cutlery, which was still actually a conversation even when I left. And the challenge is because it's such a competitive market, if you have that additional fee against one of your competitors, most likely you'll just lose consumers. So that wasn't an option. So what we said is, okay, for every five or every 10 orders that you do where you don't request cutlery, you get a $5 voucher. And we just used to do this. So we would, and it would be surprises as well. So I think the first, when we launched after the first few months, we sent really nice personalized emails that we did through obviously our CRM software. Hey, Jeremy, you saved X many pieces of cutlery. We'd like to reward you $10. And that was the biggest shift that we saw in terms of then the consumer change. We got so many emails back, which again, rarely we did. It was generally speaking a very transactional brand. Like people were literally screenshotting our emails and posting them on Instagram and things like that. So really, we saw that positive track, like really positive feedback from our consumers. And the best thing is that we saw a complete shift in terms of people using cutlery. So by the end of the year, it was like 88% of people were opting out. It was completely flipped. And so in 2021, I think, so I left towards the end of that year, but as a region, because this was obviously launched across all 13 countries, we'd saved like 1 billion sets of cutlery in a year. So it was huge, like this impact. And again, it was such a simple initiative, such a simple button. Again, it was just a little bit of nudges, a little bit of consumer nudges, but it's made such a huge difference because those billion sets of cutlery are much better off not being distributed. And again, I think it's a perfect example of something that, okay, maybe we gave out some vouchers at the beginning, but from a restaurant standpoint, it actually saved them money. And so I really think that these kind of initiatives are like perfectly in line with what I believe my kind of thought around sustainability and thought around marketing and business. It was the same with reusable packaging, actually. We were the first food delivery company to introduce reusable packaging. And it was the same logic in that it's actually saving restaurants money because, again, if they can actually scale and they're using these reusable tins or boxes that they're washed and given back to them by the consumer, you're saving money. And we use a third party to work with us. I think, yeah, that those kind of initiatives were. It's actually around saving money. It's not too difficult for the organization to implement. These are very critical. I think one of the biggest challenges I had, which we didn't solve, was really the tackling food waste. Because as I mentioned, like one of my KPIs, because obviously I was responsible for marketing and growth, was obviously driving revenue, increasing basket size, increasing orders. So actually, on one hand, for me to succeed in my role, it's to get as many people to order as many things as they could as frequently as possible. But on the flip side, that people probably don't need that much food. And so one thing we did was actually, again, we just picked our largest brands, but actually looking at, okay, how can we just, again, simple nudges of, okay, perfect for two people, perfect for one, great for four, like these kind of just within the menus and on the app as well, just helping people to make those decisions, like not to overorder, to see like the quantities that they should be ordering. But again, it was very challenging because of where sustainability sat. It was very much, sometimes I did feel that it was a little bit in conflict with kind of what my biggest KPIs were, which were always going to be around generating revenue.
No, listen, fantastic examples there, and thanks for addressing one of the challenges you had as well. But the cutlery example is fantastic. I felt a little bit guilty on that because I'm one of those consumers that did request far too much cutlery, so I'm feeling really uncomfortable on that point now. But yeah, to take your point, I think rewarding is that's really very clever and the right way to go. Consumers do want to do the right thing, don't they? You just need to make it easier for them.
Yeah, exactly. And make them feel good about it. I think that was a thing. It's sharing a bit of a celebration or a message like, thank you for helping us to do something positive. I think people really like to feel special.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Listen, I guess one thing marketers would always ask about, or certainly the financial people, would be the impact of sustainability marketing. How can these kind of efforts be measured? What is these? I know it's going to vary, but in the main, what would be the main ways you would measure this kind of marketing?
Yeah, it's a really tricky question because I think typically, again, depending on the organization, typically you could measure it in something, and I hate to say it's more fluffy, brand love. That was always something we used to measure. And most people don't like that because most people in organizations are from a financial background. Like to them, it's nothing. What does this really mean? But I think that is it's hard because sustainability will strengthen your brand. If it's done right and it's compelling and it's authentic, it will strengthen your brand in the way that consumers think about you. The challenge is it's extremely hard to measure, and it also takes a long time to build as well. So I do think that if you're trying to, I honestly, I don't know what the answer is, to be honest, because I don't think I did it very well in my previous roles at all. I do think it needs to be something that has a proper seat at the table, that it's a function in and of itself. It's not just plugged into a random team or a random person. I do think that, and again, it really comes from the leadership. I think if the CEO is passionate about it, if the managing director is, then it's going to have a better chance of succeeding than if they're not. So in terms of the impact, it's hard to measure from a PR and branding standpoint. But I do think that it goes back to this cost reduction. I really think for it to work, it needs to either operationally reduce costs internally, or it needs to show that it's driving additional revenue. I think that's the only way, whether you create a product or service that is more sustainable and it maybe the profitability is higher, then that's a way that you can do it. Again, when I talk about food waste, I think when you look at supermarket chains, if they can find a way to reduce the amount of food that they throw away and they can package it within a sustainability message, that's also a fantastic way of saving money and obviously creating this better impact for the business. But it's hard because I think a lot of the time it's surveys, it's brand love, it's more fluffy, intangible metrics. And I think unfortunately, most business leaders don't really take it seriously. So then it doesn't necessarily get the kind of right city that it should have.
No, I think you hinted at the right ways to maybe look and think about measuring the impact of sustainability marketing. I could open that question up into the impact of marketing in general, and it would be a difficult one to answer. But no, thanks for sharing your thoughts on that. Listen, just to, on the kind of wider view of sustainability marketing, how can sustainability marketing impact a company's business goals? Do you have a thought on that?
It's hard because, again, I think it really depends on the nature of the organization. I think, unfortunately, but most companies are about making money. If you look at very black and white, most organizations to make more money, they need to sell more things. That's ultimately how things work now. And I think it's how can we completely change that business model and that logic. And again, I don't know whether it's just placing more value on what you're creating. You don't need to sell more of it, but maybe the quality of it, the way that it's produced, and where it's sourced from, these things are important. I think that will be ch challenging because I think it really won't come from one organization. It has to be at an industry level or just in general, I don't know, like a complete transformation of how consumption works. I think for existing companies, it will be hard to make shifts, especially those, as I said, those organizations that are all just about selling as much as they can. But I do think there's more opportunity for organizations within the space of the bulls, subscriptions, rentals, things like that. Brands like Style Theory, where you can basically rent a wardrobe and you return it after a few weeks and you get like new packages. Same for baby clothes. I think as someone who has a young child, I really looked for ways, how can I actually sustainably clothe and buy toys for my child? And again, there are options, there just aren't many. So I think it's also just businesses looking at other alternatives that they might be new revenue drivers for the organization, but it might not be the typical way of just buying and selling. I do think there's a lot of opportunity within this whole kind of reusable rental subscription space. And I do think, and I see more and more of like my own community and my own friends that are a lot more open to that as well. So, yeah, I guess it's just looking for, yeah, new business opportunities and not seeing it as something that's in conflict to your business or your kind of ability to create revenue.
Yeah, so I've got a slightly unfair question to ask you. I've just thought of it. It's just popped into my head. It's when you mentioned the support of higher up in the organization, being driven by CEOs. A little bit of a tricky question for you, but given your experience, if you're working in a company where it's, you think sustainability is important, you think there is a role for it within the company, but it's not one of their priorities, and maybe it's not driven or supported from the top. Do you have any advice to marketers how they could go about implementing sustainability marketing within that kind of organization?
It's how can you speak the language of the kind of key decision makers? I think in my personal experience, I would say the senior leadership was less interested, but my manager was very supportive. So I think honestly, that's the best situation to be in because I had the full support of someone. But I realized that our CEO was actually very excited about PR value. So one of the first initiatives we did, we banned shark fin. It was the first thing I did. And we actually were featured in Forbes globally. And we had all of this fantastic press coverage and again, fantastic feedback. And it didn't really negatively impact the business revenue because we didn't really sell a huge amount of shark fin on the menu. It was not, because actually shark fin is quite expensive. It's actually quite high basket sizes, but we didn't have huge volumes because it's something that traditionally you would have in a restaurant. So it wasn't in too much conflict with the business. So I saw how excited he was about this. So basically, any initiative I did, I really ensured that we really pimped it out with great PR. And so that was as much coverage as we could get, as many people talking about it, as many awards as we could win. And I think that's how we were able to drive that momentum because I understood that I believe that he got a little bit excited about that aspect of it. I think it's just understanding who the key decision makers are and equally who are the potential barriers, if any. Luckily, I didn't really have any big barriers. And it's just understanding how do you speak their language? How do you get them excited? And also make it very easy for them. I didn't really ask for help. I just got on and did what I felt was needed to be done. I didn't really ask for much in terms of resources or anything like that. So I think it's just, yeah, how can you make it as easy as possible for them to not say no and then obviously get them excited when things go well? And I'm obviously showing a little bit of quick wins as well. I wouldn't go to a CEO, especially someone that's not passionate with a very complicated 3-year plan. I would literally do something like, this is going to take me a couple of weeks. I'm going to give it a go if that's okay. And then you can see the results in a month or so. I really would start with like baby steps rather than something that's fully blown. Yeah.
Oh, it's an excellent point. So I think quick wins and speak the language of the CEO, excellent points and really good advice to any other marketers out there. Now, this has been fantastic, Laura. I really appreciate you coming on the pod and talking us through some really interesting aspects of sustainability marketing. Thank you very much for being on the pod.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it, Jeremy.
No, it's great. Listen, if people wanted to reach out to you, Laura, where is the best place for people to reach you?
They can obviously find me on LinkedIn and my details are there. And yeah, I check it pretty regularly. So they can just reach out directly on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. No, thanks very much, Laura. Great to have you on the podcast. Look forward to chatting again. Thank you, Laura. So, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, do share. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
If you want to access other podcasts and related articles, you can visit us at omjmedia.com. That's omjmedia.com. Until next time, bye-bye.